Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad, see the broken, the bad, I'm a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, had a bad tape, bad law, bad do, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibe. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pharrell Place, right across the roads of the woods from where Granny loves the peach paradise. When she wakes up in the morning in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up to do. All my finna come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tad in my brain. Splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Woo. I think I might have called something from Keith. Should do that. Yeah. Hey, I'm Pharrell. What's gigging? And Mafia running it tonight. And later, we got our boy, Mad Dog DeMarco, David DeMarco from East Lansing. He'll come on this hour to talk about Ohio State and Michigan State. Big game on Saturday in college football. So we'll talk to him about that. I was just watching Mike Woodson coach the Hurrying Hoosiers. And they are up 14 on St. John's right now in Bloomington. At assembly, Don Fisher, along with Max Scurlin from assembly, blah, 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 the Hoosiers against the Red Storm. It's Indiana basketball from assembly hall. Don Fisher. I used to love listening to Don Fisher call Indiana basketball games. There's nothing quite like it. And called three national championships out of their five. They haven't won one in a long time. The last time they won a national championship was 87 when I was there, and they beat Syracuse at the Superdome. But then they lost in 2002 to Maryland, which was highly unfortunate. And I like seeing Mike Woodson coach him. Older guy. I mean, let's face it, he's in his mid-60s. So a lot of people are like, how long is he going to coach at Indiana? You know what? If Mike Krzyzewski and these guys can coach into their mid-70s, I don't see why they can't get 10 good years out of Woodson in Bloomington. And I think they, frankly, absolutely need to stick it out. I think, you know, the talk of, like, Dan Mullen just got hired, and a year later they're going to fire him. And Gainesville, like, you pay these guys $20 million to fire him. And it just makes no sense to me whatsoever to cut a gigantic deal like Texas A&M did with Jimbo Fisher. And then every year they give him more money. They just keep giving him more money. Like, I mean, wasn't the first deal at, you know, it put him in the top five paid coaches in college football. And now he's number two. So he just keeps making more and more money. And he's got them by the onions for the next decade. I mean, by the onions. If you fire that guy, it's going to cost you $25, $30 million just to fire him. I mean, he runs Texas A&M. He runs the school. Forget about the football program. He runs the school. I mean, to tell you, this guy, they must hate him, the professors there, and all the hard work they do to educate students at A&M down there in Aggieland. Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously, College Station, are you kidding me? You get a great education there. It's high tech. It's no joke. And they're paying a football coach $10.5 million. And then they can't even fire him. But Dan Mullen, he got all that money, and they're going to fire him. And so when I look at a guy like Mike Woodson, who has had tremendous success playing at Indiana, coaching in the NBA, they loved him. Frankly, he's the last guy to win 54 games in New York with the Knicks. And now he's in Bloomington coaching Big Ten basketball at his alma mater for, you know, he was brought there from basically the hood in Indiana, in Indianapolis. And he, believe it, there is a hood there. And he got recruited by Bob Knight. And he had Bob Knight walk into his home to meet him and his parents. And in the slums, and he ended up getting a scholarship to Indiana. He played for him, and he became like a soldier for Bob Knight. I mean, this guy, he would have walked through fire, hell and fire. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 159, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and Sports Map, Sports Violence for all on the bench. Anyway, he went there, and then all these years later, they bring him back to coach at Indiana when he loved and adored Bob Knight like no other. And then Bob Knight was there a couple weeks ago at his practice, running, sitting there with him on the sideline. It was a beautiful sight. I have so many fond memories of working for Bob Knight. I just don't care what anybody thinks of him. I just think he's the greatest guy, and I learned so much from him. I mean, I learned so much about life. Being around him. So I wish nothing but success for Mike Woodson. I really hope he does well in Bloomington. I hope he's there for 10, 12 years. I really do. It's for all on the bench.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever been hospitalized after driving off the road while wishing on a shooting star, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, Farrell with Mafia. I just turned on the smoke crack game against the Blackhawks, and I'm interested to see how they do. Featured on the game of the week on TNT, and I know how excited they get about their uniforms and everything, their sweaters. I mean, they get a lot of attention for, you know, being a bad team. I mean, let's just face facts. Although I've said this before, you got to pay your dues. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't believe, frankly, it's good for the league to have Vegas in their first year in the Stanley Cup final, because that draft was ridiculous. They got a playoff team. That was before they made the finals. I'm talking about they had a team built for success in the playoffs. I mean, and then they went to the final and lost to the Capitals. Here's the deal. NHL teams go decades trying to build a playoff team and a winner and a championship team. It takes time. I'm not saying everyone takes decades, but teams are built and they start from bottom line, you know, homeless. And then you build through the draft and you acquire players, you make deals, whatever. Bottom line is, I was on an expansion team of the Atlanta Thrashers. They were terrible. It was embarrassing how bad they were. I mean, they won 11 games the whole year. Think about that. They play 82 games. You won 11. You suck, okay? They got no special players at all in that expansion draft. None. Gary Bettman, thanks a lot. Not only did he screw them with that cheap-ass draft they threw for them, but they, by doing that, I felt that they laid the groundwork. They laid the rocks under the pavement. You know, when they set the road, they put the rocks down, and then they pour the cement. Here's the deal. They paved the way for them to go broke and move to Farrelipeg. That's all there is to it. I don't believe, and I don't care what anyone in Seattle thinks, that they, and I don't think they've been afforded that. They have not been afforded a playoff team. They've been afforded a crappy team, which is what they deserve. If everyone in 1967 came into the league and sucked, which is what happened, that's the way it should be always. You shouldn't be able to have an expansion team, and the first year you're in the league, you're built to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, explain that to me, Mafia. Explain to me. I don't even think you can do it. So just say, I'll pass, unless you think you've got some smart answer why a team should come into the league in their first year. And don't tell me that they just went out and won games. They were built to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, it was unbelievable. They got every great player in the league. And I think it's not legal.
No, that's not the way it should be. You should have to earn your stripes. You should have to, you know, have a couple tough years and work your way up, and you build it up through young players that eventually get good. But you shouldn't be good like that right out the gates, like you said. And what it was is simply, you know, an overcorrection from what you talked about with Atlanta. Like, they killed Atlanta right out the gates with the terrible draft that they had because the rules were so constrictive against them that they really took everyone's literally, you know, it was scraps. And then so they overcorrected for Vegas the next time they had somebody. You know, Arizona has been terrible too since they came into league, but they were in an expansion draft, but still they've just been terrible. Like, the last couple teams before Vegas were so bad that they said, all right, well, we got to fix this. We can't have them be this bad because they didn't want to set up for failure. But the problem was they overcorrected the other way, so they were too good. So now they've come back to the middle with Seattle, where they didn't, you know, they had some decent players, but it wasn't nearly the haul that Vegas got with all their maneuvering and the guys they had available to them.
You know, I have nothing against Vegas. I've been to many games there at T-Mobile and Sin City, and I enjoyed it immensely, right? That's fair enough. But what I didn't like was that I was on a team that they gave nothing to them. I mean, they were just like the sludge of the earth players. I mean, they were the worst. I mean, they had no one. Eventually, they got, you know, Kovalchuk and Heatley, and they were really starting to build something. And then Heatley crashed the car, killed his teammate, and that was the end of him. So all I did was suffer with that team. And then I watched some team come in the league, and they tiptoe right to the Stanley Cup Finals. You know what was great about it? I bet on the Capitals to win the series, and they did. You lose. So now look at them struggling to get it back. I mean, every time they were in the playoffs, remember, Mavi, and they got screwed on that call, and they lost in seven. And as far as I'm concerned, they had it coming. They had it coming. And ever since that, when, you know, that happened to them, they've only gotten worse. And I don't know if you've seen lately, but like the first few weeks of the season, the first month, they had all kinds of injuries and problems. They're finding out how hard it is. They're finding out how hard it is. Ask the Toronto Maple Leafs. They haven't won it since 1967. Ask the Toronto Maple Leafs, one of the most powerful organizations in sports. They're like the Yankees. No one wants to admit it. They all talk about the Montreal Canadiens, and deservedly, when you got that 24 cups, deservedly. I think one of the problems that people have an issue with is that they did it primarily with the original six, right? So most of their damage was done against five other teams. It's different now. I won't deny they made the finals last year, And that's great. Gravy. Congratulations. You still lost. And now they've had a hangover ever since, right? Playing terrible. But Toronto's the gigantic moneymaker in the NHL and in Canada. Forget about it. It's just incredible. It's like they're a cash cow. I mean, they're like the Yankees. They really are. And they couldn't win the Stanley Cup if every other team drowned in the ocean. I mean, honestly, it's so unbelievable watching them. It's an annual rite of passage into spring when the Leafs start losing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? So the moral of the story is, kids, the smoke crack deserved nothing. And I hope they struggle so they can find out what it's really like. Not only did Atlanta go broke, but halfway through it, like it was 10 years, 5 years in, they had no fans there. And when they started the arena, Phillips Arena, it was sold out for 2 years every game. And meanwhile, they never won any games. People went, they spent their money on concessions and beer and food and stuff, went to dinner, and then after the game, they went and partied. Because they didn't have any fun at the game watching them bend over. So they would just go out after the game and party. And it was a great scene for 2 years. And then all of a sudden in 3, 4, and 5, they started just disappearing like chunks. It's like some guy losing his hair. That's how bad it was. I remember that guy when he had hair. That's what happened to him. I mean, they went belly up. They had to move. And it's Gary Bettman. I mean, I think Gary's made the league billions. Congratulations. I think he's done a great job. But there's certain things that he just hasn't lived up to. And he keeps expanding. But he's only been able to master it once, trying to get the expansion team into the Stanley Cup Finals. They deserve to be there. My ass. My ass. I mean, they built a Russian Red Army. That's what they built. So I'm not rooting for expansion teams, okay? So you can have fun with that. Go ahead and have them hand you a team. I mean, it's unbelievable. But I saw that draft. I didn't think they got anybody. I mean, some of the guys they got from, like, the Penguins, they suck. They don't matter. So, watching Tanev and these guys, watching these guys struggle, they deserve it. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
So anyway, I don't know if you heard that clip there about Mario Lemieux, Le Magnifique, you know, about his career goals and everything. And the story ran this week that they are selling the team to the Fenway Sports Group. Here's the deal. Just real quick, because I got Mad Dog DeMarco coming on right now. I've never seen anything like it, watching that guy play hockey. I was there when he got drafted in Pittsburgh. I became friends with him. I love him. He's cool with me. We always had a great relationship. He thinks I'm crazy and funny. And he knows everyone. He knows 34C. He knows all about, you know, whatever, my career and everything and where I started and where I came from and all the rest. I have never seen an athlete in my life more magnificent than that dude. And I've admitted that Gretzky's better. I've admitted, Brady's incredible, greatest ever. I've admitted all this. There's a million athletes that are in Hall of Fame, everything, this, that. They've won awards. They've stacked championships and everything else. I have never witnessed up close and personal on a nightly basis anyone ever that compares to Mario Lemieux. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I've seen this guy score 5 goals 5 different ways in one night. 5 different ways. 5 of them. try that on for size. All right, Mad Dog DeMarco is on the game in East Lansing. Very popular. And I've been on his show 5 million times. We got him on the bench tonight to talk about Michigan State at Ohio State at the Shoe on Saturday. How you doing, Mad Dog?
I'm doing good, Scott. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in, my man. It's great to hear you on my show. Thanks for coming on. So what do you think of Mel Tucker? Are they getting the $95 million over to Mel's bank? Is everything in order?
That is a rumor that could be come to fruition. Yeah, they don't want to lose Mel Tucker, and Mel Tucker sort of was like Jed Clampett shooting for some crude with the transfer portal when, you know, 35 to 40 cats left the team and about 13 left after the green-white game, and then this cat came over from Wake Forest. His name's Kenneth, and he's pretty good, and they had Peyton Thorne already here, and he's matured a little bit, and their offense is pretty superlative. Their defensive side, though, that's the side that's going to be tested big time. I mean, you're looking at Stroud throwing 30 TDs, and you're looking at their three wideouts that are going to play the National Football League, Trayvon Henderson and the tight end. They're pretty damn good. That's why they're the number one offense in the United States. It's going to be a Herculean effort for Michigan State to go there, 18, 19 points, whatever it is. I mean, they're seventh, and they deserve to be where they are, and nobody, you know, gave them a snowball chance to help thinking that they were going to be out of the gate like this. But, I mean, we're talking about Ohio State, what Ryan Day has done. He's been unbelievable taking for the Urban Meyer and the players he has got all over the country. I mean, don't get me wrong. Anybody can be beaten, but I mean, they're going to have to play a perfect game. Who's kidding who here? And Ohio State, the Ohio State knows. They got to run roughshod if they're going to get in the Final Four. If Michigan State goes there and pulls an upset outright, man, that would be just absolutely beyond comprehension. Could it happen? Yeah, but I'm looking at the realistic viewpoint, and, you know, they're offensively, they're just too much like NASA control.
You know what, Mad Dog? Here's what I think. I think they're gonna beat Michigan State. They're gonna beat Michigan, and they're going to the playoff. Okay, because that's exactly the way they want it. That's what they want. They want the same four teams, five teams. No, I mean, there's no more than five. There are five teams that they consider gold, the gold standard of playoff football. They don't care about anything else. Let me tell you something, how much the NCAA cares about Division I, II, III college football. They don't give one iota about it. You know, you're some kid playing at North Dakota State or Utah State. They don't care about you. They don't care about you at all. They don't care that your program makes money. They lie through their teeth and tell you they do. But the reality of it is they want Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma in that G-damn thing every single effing year. And I'm bored to death with it. And I don't think the conversation should be about do they cover. Because I'm in the business of sports betting. And all I know is that they're getting 19 points. Now, there's a lot of people, heavy sharps, that are saying you grab the 19. But I have laid a lot of points with this Ohio State team this year, and they don't let you down. It's a huge number, but I got to tell you, in terms of, I just have to look at it again, but I'm almost certain I laid it. I'm almost certain I laid it. I laid it. I laid 19. Not only did I lay 19, I made it my number two play. I mean, I respect Michigan State. I really do. But they're playing in Columbus. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be Purdue playing in Columbus, getting their ass beat.
There's no getting around it. I mean, I'm right with you. I mean, I see it. I mean, it's just been, you know, a really solid season for Michigan State. And they got a good chance to, you know, I'm looking ahead, knock Penn State off at Spartan Stadium next week. They go 10-2. That's, I mean, unbelievable for, you know, they were going to be like cellar dweller kind of team. And, you know, if Kenneth plays the game, you know, if he goes over 100 against Ohio State, which he could, and plays well against Penn State, I mean, he's got a good chance to be, you know, your next-door neighbor here grabbing the Heisman and walking out of there. Now, the bottom line is you're right. As far as the number 18.5, 19, that's exactly the way I look at it. I mean, I'm being realistic here. There's some people in East Lansing that think, you know, yeah, you can – you know, like I said earlier, you know, it could be like a Jed Clampett thing shooting for, but it's not going to happen. I mean, Ohio State is, Ryan Day is one of the best coaches in the country by far. And I mean, you know, it's not a fluke that he took over Urban Meyer and won those four games when he was suspended for the Zach Smith incident. Yeah. And then he comes right out of the gate, Urban Meyer walks. And, you know, he hasn't lost a game in the Big Ten yet. It's not a fluke. This guy is the guy's only like 41, 42 years old. I mean, the thing is with Mel Tucker, all due respect to Mel, I mean, he's done a hell of a job. No getting around. He was 5-7 at Colorado. He comes here a year ago, August. His team was quarantined, but that wasn't even the team that he had. I mean, going into the season, it was like it was like patchwork, like putting a quilt together through the transfer portal, and all these guys came. But like I said, if they were offensively, if they were defensively as sound as they are offensively, it'd be a little bit of a different story. But, I mean, they got scorched against Purdue. This guy was a walk-on, and he threw for over 500. They knew David Bell was going to get the ball. They come back, bounce back, and they throttled Maryland. But, I mean, what they did against Michigan was big time. They were down 16. They come back, score two touchdowns with 2 two-point conversions. They didn't let up. Harbaugh's team was laughing, joking it up on the sideline, thinking they had this game in the bag, and they came back. And that's one thing Tucker will do. He'll grind this game. But, I mean, you know, Stroud's throwing 30 TDs. He out of Rancho Cucamonga, he's not going to be playing any footsie with these guys. He's going to be trying to get the ball to Olave and these two other wideouts. And Henderson's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. Where they got a, you know, NFL offensive line. The tight end's going to play in the NFL. These guys are, like, that's why they're the number one offense in the country. The Michigan State's got the 130th, the worst pass defense in the country. So, I mean, it could be, but, I mean, what you said, you're looking at the line, and I just can't see Michigan State. I mean, they're going to have to be just out of their mind. I think Tucker will know this going, and he was a coach with Tressel. And D'Antonio, real young guy, for 4 years when they beat the U and Willis McGahee to win the national championship. But, I mean, that was then and this is now. Ryan Day, this could be the best offense going back to Cornelius Green and Archie Griffin and all the cats that they had, Art Schleister and all these cats they've had there. These guys are really productive. I mean, they're averaging a lot of points. And like you said, they're going to be in the horseshoe. There's 107,000 people with scarlet and gray on. It's going to be, like I said, they got a tsunami offense. For them to, for Michigan State to go in there and do some damage, they're going to have to play an absolute perfect game, and teams just don't play perfect games.
You can't play a perfect game against a team that's that talented, that fast, that good. It's impossible. It is virtually impossible to play a team that good and play a perfect game. I mean, because what they do is take perfect out of the equation. There is no perfect play against Ohio State because they eliminate your skills. They eliminate your best players. They disrupt your world. I got 75 seconds, respectfully. Big win tonight. I bet on Michigan State and Tom Izzo in that game against Butler, and they kicked their ass.
Yeah, well, that's what Tom Izzo does. When you bet against him, I mean, that's when he gets all his laughs. He's another guy. He puts this team together, the transfer portal, and guys this, that. He still don't know what he has, and they're going to be better than people are giving him. I mean, Tom Izzo is a machine, and, you know, his goal is to get a second championship, and, you know, we'll wait and see. But, I mean, it sort of pissed him off that they weren't in the top 25. But, hey, man, nobody's entitled to anything until you earn it, and that's the way he lives his life.
Well, I'm just glad I won money with him tonight, and I'm glad he hasn't hit any basketball players because I told you I thought that day was coming too because he's nuts. But I think he's stressed out. I mean, he's just stressed out. Big win for the Sparty tonight, and we'll see what they do against Ohio State. Mad Dog, David DeMarco from the game in East Lansing. My man, thanks for coming on the bench. We'll do it again. I'll get you on the TV side.
All right, Stud, take it easy. Thank you, everybody.
All right, my man, Mad Dog DeMarco from 7:30 The Game in East Lansing, very popular radio show in afternoons. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info,
you can ask your dumb friend Kevin.
Duh. Or you can just listen to us. We recommend us.
And we won't ask to borrow your car either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
All right. Pharrell on the bench. So I've flipped on the Suns and Mavs game from the Valley, and it's 28-24 Suns. Of course, no Luka tonight with the ankle tweak. Brunson is out there filling it up and immediately hits a shot as I'm watching. A two-point game. I thought this game would be good. How about this one, Mafia? I hit the Lakers by a hook. They lost by 7. I had 7.5.
Sometimes it saves you, sometimes it burns. You gotta love it. You might want to turn that that Indiana game back on, though. St. John's made a run here. It's tight now.
Yeah, I do want to watch it the second half. How much time's left in that game?
13.5, 52-46 right now. So some good comeback here by St. John's. They're down double digits at half. Now they're coming back. Now it's a five-point game as they're at the free throw line. So the Johnny's
the
getting in there.
The spread was six.
Good. Yeah.
So, yeah, that Anderson guy's done a good job at St. John's, I think. And then I see him waving his arms after the kid misses the free throw. And, you know, I got to tell you, free throws are it's so unbelievable to me. Because I'll go in the gym and I'll hit 100 free throws. And then I go in these games and I'll miss. It's just unbelievable. But once again, the Pharrell Ballers, winners tonight. We played this really good team, Russian team. And they can really move the ball and shoot threes. I mean, and they got a guard that's faster than lightning. And it didn't matter. We still beat them by like 15. The spread was 6. We covered. We've covered in every game of the year. We're undefeated. Once again, I had to play a bulk of minutes because we had two guys missing. And it didn't matter because I'm literally as slow as a duck now. But my game isn't about speed. My game's about physicality, getting post-up shots, cutting, finishing, finger rolls, making good dimes, blocking shots, and I'm also good at fouling people. So tonight, I was in this game, and I play the low block, so, and I'm the big boy. You want to come in? You think you're going to shoot layups on me? You just come right in. You think you're just going to get valet parking? Mafia knows what happens. He knows that no matter what, when he's playing against me, because he's big boy, 6'5", 240, I still foul the shack out of him every time. I'm just like, we're in an open runner, no refs here. I'm the ref. Watch this. Whap! And then he got to the point where he was doing the same thing to me. I don't give anybody layup. I got a guy coming in for a layup tonight. This guy played at Fairleigh Dickinson, and he's good, and he drives, he's physical, and he goes to the 10, even against the bigs. And I just let him know. I didn't even have to say anything. He went in for a layup. I tackled him. I grabbed him and threw him like a rag doll. I just grabbed him and threw him like a rag doll. And everybody's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was like, that's on me right there. You know, I get 5 of these. So there's one. And I got 2 more in good. I got another guy trying to get physical with me, like blocking out, trying to get physical with me. I took him by the arm and I threw him 5 feet. I just grabbed his arm and threw him. I picked him up and threw him. And then I had another guy, 6'5", 240, just like Mafia size, a brother, playing physical with me, getting all bangy, chippy, getting all, you know, shoving his ass into me and getting all violent and everything like that. I just grabbed him by the neck and threw him to the ground. Like Mahorn or, you know, Lambeer or Barkley. I just grabbed him by the neck and slammed him on the ground like I was in WEW. And I just took him and slammed him on the ground. 250 pounds. Just took him by the neck and just like a scene from a mafia movie. I just grabbed him by the neck and body slammed him. And then I stood over him and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you all right? Because you want to get chippy with me? I give you something you remember the whole night, all night long. You'd be thinking of me. He'll be sleeping thinking of me. You know what the guy said to me after the game? Because I'm friends with him. I know him. I play ball with him a lot. He said, He said, don't talk to me on the court. I said, what's up? Are you doing good? In a free throw line. I was in a free throw line, and I was like, you know, next to him in the free throw line and rebounding. And I said, you doing all right? He's like, don't talk to me. We're not friends today. I'm like, okay. So instead, I'll just body slam you. How's that sound? I don't need to be friends with you ever. You want to get like, we're not friends. Is there anything funny? That's the second guy. That's the second guy that told me we're not friends when we play in these games, these big games, these league games. I'm like, bro, look up on that wall. I got so many banners. Like, I got nothing better to do than be nice to you because it don't matter anymore. I won so many. I'm like the Celtics and Lakers over here, bro. I'm just saying, hi to you. I'm trying to be cool, be nice. I get along with everybody when I play until I don't. I get along with everybody until I don't. And when I don't, Mafia knows. He don't even like hearing about it anymore. He's heard it so much. But he knows it's true. You want to get funky? I'm Nicole Medina, biatch. You want to get funky? Let's go. Let's get funky. So the guy that I grabbed out of the neck and threw I threw him 5 yards. The guy says to the ref, flagrant. And then he looked at me and goes, what's your problem? I go, I still got 4 more of these to go. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I mean, I thought that one was really good on you. I threw you 5 yards. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Because they talked to me. These dudes talked to me. They try to get, like, going with me, you know, talking, getting chippy and talking to me. And I'm like, there's not one guy on the face of the earth that can talk smack to me playing basketball. I'll hurt your feelings. I'll sleep with your wife. I mean, there is no one that can trash with me. No one. I was like, hey, what a great line. He's like, what's your problem, dude? I go, my problem is I don't know what I'm going to do next. I got to, you know, think it through and plan my next violent escapade. I mean, I've only been in 18 championship games. I'm sorry. I don't have time to be friends or to, you know, you don't want me to talk to you. You don't want me to foul you. You want me to just give you a layup, like a clean trip in and valet parking? Mafia knows. It's self-parking down in the hood. You bring a car down here, you may not get the same car going home.
There ain't no free points.
Nothing's free. Mafia used to play with the pro ballers. There ain't nothing free. And I tell you what else. We have literally not talked to a ref in years. We don't even talk to refs. When they call fouls on us, they give you that look like, and I'm like this. I go like this. I go, that one's on me right there. I look at the ref, I go, that one's on me. And then I go, I always let them know how many more I got. What am I going to do next? I mean, what am I going to do next? I'm like the Riddler. What's he going to do next? That crazy old Pharrell with the old man strength playing basketball. Don't go near him. He'll take your head off. He'll break your nose. One night, Mafia knows it's true. One night I was playing in a title game, and this one guy was really fast, and I'm really good friends with the guy. I'm going to his wedding, right? So he was on this other team before he joined my team and won 8 championships. He was on this other team when I didn't know him. I just knew of him. I knew he was a really good player. He was a great player, and I knew I wanted him on my team. But I didn't have him on my team when I played him in the playoffs. And they were beating us by like 20. And he was just blazing up and down the court. So I'd had enough of it. So he ran by me, giving me a look like, you like that? You know, talking smack, like, you like that? And I looked at him, and then when he went by me, I tripped him. And he fell and smashed his face on the court. And he got up 100 miles an hour to get in my face. And I go, I like that better. He signed with my team the next season and played with me for 8 years. He knew what would happen. You play with me? I don't even care if I'm buttering my own bread right now. I'm going to the well for you. Mafia knows. You need to send somebody to get the water 3 miles down the road? and put it on his head like a basket, like one of them chicks in Africa, I'm your guy. I'm going to pick up some guns, too, when I'm down there. And bullets. And we'll bring back that dirty water. We'll smoke some bong rips. Woo! Mafia loves that. Just loves it. He wins titles. He's done it. He knows. He had to quit the team over, winning too many titles. And secondly, he put on his retirement. He said, I've won too many titles, and I know someone's going to come and try to kill all of us one of these nights because we win too much.
How do you like them, Max?
Yeah. I can't be around when they come to kill us. And I always tell people, like, yeah, you guys and me, I know you care, man. Don't act like you don't care. Listen, bro, when you've been in 18 championship games, you don't care anymore.
Damn it. I'm too old to care about what other people think of me. Did that sound cool?
Tonight, there was a cheering section for the Russians. Cheering section. Every time they scored, they went crazy cheering. Every call they got, they cheered. Every call against them, they complained to the refs for 2 minutes. They just kept complaining. We don't talk to refs. They're invisible to us. They're invisible. We don't talk to refs. We just win. We just go out and beat. We destroy people. And then tonight I got an and one and made the free throw. And I made the bucket and free throw against the 6'5", 240-pound black guy. And he didn't like the call. I got all mad. I did a big V turn. Like, I went wide, did like a Daytona curve turn. So when I made the basket, I did a Glenn Rice. I went all the way near the crowd that was cheering for the other team all night. I said, you cheering, mother Pharrellers, keep cheering because you know we're getting that W. So you guys keep cheering. Cheer like crazy. You like that N1 I just dropped? Keep cheering because I guarantee you, you're going to go home disappointed tonight.
How can you possibly expect to be the world champion with a body like that? Them teeny weeny arms and the skinny weeny legs and that so turkey looking neck.
Not here. 6'4", 220 coming right at you, right into your living room, sleeping with your wife. Boom. I made an and one. I dropped a Glenn Rice, and I said, you mother Pharrellers, keep cheering over here in your little cheering section. Bunch of pansy asses. Nothing we like more than people that cheer against us and hate us. There's nothing that gets us going more than people that hate us. We love it. Hate me all you want. I'd rather you hate me than dislike me, man. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So Indiana leads by 5 again. It was a 2-point game after a big 3 by St. John's. They've come all the way back. And it's a very intense game right now in Bloomington at Assembly Hall. So we'll keep an eye on it for you. Indiana sold out as usual. And it's crazy there. Crazy atmosphere. A good one between St. John's and the Hoosiers. What do they call them now? Mafia, are they the Red Storm or are they just the Johnnies? What are they called?
I think they're still the Red Storm. I got to double check that. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, though.
Didn't they drop all that? Because the world was changing and everybody became a wuss bag?
No, it's still Red Storm. Johnny's just the nickname.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's got to be the worst nickname ever. I mean, is that like a bomb cyclone? What is a Red Storm? Like, who has time to, like, evolve into finding out what that means? Like, you wonder why no one cares about him. I mean, no one cares about him, right? I mean, like, They used to be a New York institution, right? With Lou Carnesecca. Have you ever noticed that mafia that no one gives a rat's ass about them? I mean, honestly.
No, because they had a lot of down years. They had some scandals with some guys, so people just moved on.
They moved on to Seton Hall.
Hell yeah, come on over. Taking out Michigan yesterday.
Come on over and bring beer. When we come back, we'll talk to our good friend Charlie in Indianapolis. It's for all on the bench.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.